The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with violinist Bill Slusser from the Dayton Philharmonic about the healing power of classical music. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week is more exciting information about the Mediterranean diet. For years, we've been telling each other we need to be on a low-fat diet, but it turns out it's not working as well as could have been expected. However, the Mediterranean diet, which consists of veggies and fruits, beans, whole grains, and fish, limiting red meat and sweets, apparently is making a great big splash across the world. In this diet, moderate to high amounts of good fats from olive oil and nuts are encouraged. These fats seem to lower inflammatory factors that contribute to, among many other conditions, heart disease. So it turns out that not all fat is bad. That's a misnomer. We want to continue to move toward the Mediterranean diet, toward mono and polyunsaturated fats from such foods as fatty fish, olive oil, nuts, and avocados. Turns out, with regard to olive oil, you need 4 tablespoons a day of extra virgin olive oil to be heart healthy, and about 30 grams of nuts rich in omega-3. That comes out to be about 14 walnut halves, 24 almonds, or 21 hazelnuts, if anyone's counting. But beware, all that olive oil and all those nuts add up to about 500 additional calories a day. So consume them, eat them slowly, and savor every morsel. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Bill Slusser grew up in Alliance, Ohio. He received his Bachelor's of Music degree from Baldwin Wallace College in Berea, Ohio. For 26 years, he served in the Air Force and was a member of the Air Force Band's Strolling Strings. He got to play the violin at the White House for several presidents, from Ford through Clinton. How exciting. And he received his Master's of Music degree from the Catholic University in Washington, D.C. He was both the director and the superintendent of the Air Force Strings and retired from that position in 1996. Since then, he's lived in Dayton, performing with the Springfield Symphony, Middletown Orchestra, Sorg and Whitewater Opera, and the Columbus Symphony. He currently is a member of the Dayton Philharmonic. Welcome, Bill, to Your Holistic Health.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, music has long been recognized for its therapeutic value, but we really want to know, inquiring minds want to know, why you enjoy playing that musical instrument, and why in heaven's name would you have picked the violin?
Well, I come from a musical family, and my mother and father were both amateur musicians, and somehow in the third grade, a music teacher came by and asked who would like to play the violin, and for some reason I put my hand up, and everything else is history. Luckily, though, I have found a wonderful instrument. I think it's one of the most expressive instruments of the orchestra. in range and in pitch, dynamics. It just has such a range, and you can express so many feelings and types of music with it.
Do you feel like you connect throughout history and the incredible composers throughout history when you play that instrument?
Oh, very much. The violin has been used, since it's been a violin. The violin, as we have it today, was developed in the early 1700s, and composers from that time on have made the violin a dominant force in compositions, whether it's orchestra, string quartets, solos, and it's just a joy to be able to recreate the compositions that have been written through those periods as a violinist. I don't consider myself a creator. Composition is something that I just never excelled at any time in my career, but recreating music is just amazing.
Well, I happen to be a fellow musician. I'm a pipe organist, and we're kind of bonding here through the airwaves, which you're not probably quite aware of just yet, but I'm working up to something here that I'm just dying to ask you, and it has to do with actually playing that music. What kind of an experience is that for you, different from listening and really being actively participating, if you will?
Well, let me start with the orchestra. Playing in the orchestra is the thing that really drew me to be a musician as a career, and a lot of that is what I call relational. When we're playing in the orchestra, it's necessary to be listening to everything that's going on in the orchestra, plus watching the conductor, and reacting and interacting with the other musicians. And when I saw the Philadelphia Orchestra play as a teenager and experienced that for the first time, that just sensed it, that is what I always wanted to do. And being able to do it now at this point in my life is just a total fulfillment of what I thought it would be.
Well, now as a Christian, I wonder, if it could have possibly been a gentle nudging and a calling for you at that early age, and has it then, if so, possibly grown into a ministry unbeknownst to your audience and others around you?
Well, I've always looked at it as a calling, even from that early age. I view talents that God gives us as just that. When he gives a talent, he wants it to be used. And whether it's digging ditches or preaching a sermon or playing the violin, that is a ministry. And I have felt that all my life.
Now, classical music isn't oftentimes easy, whether one is either listening to and enjoying or, you know, engaged in just solo playing or a duet ensemble or all the way up to orchestral work. The brain has to be sort of multitasking, I guess would be a good way to look at that.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, we've seen studies that are fascinating, really, that talk about how specifically classical music, engaging in listening and playing classical music, can increase IQ, can enhance memory, can improve energy, can relax. In essence, it really can alter emotions and, in essence, if you will, heal in a certain way. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with the research and the literature on that?
Well, I'm not that familiar with the research, but it personally affects me that way in two ways. In one way, I can be literally dog-tired at the end of a day. Most of our rehearsals are not until the evening, 7:30. And I can go into a rehearsal, and after 10 or 15 minutes of playing, I am totally rejuvenated. The music just gets into my senses. It activates my mind, and I feel alive.
Do you find yourself thinking about certain sections of the orchestra or measures of the music that are particularly energetic, or perhaps said another way, some of the areas that require most of your attention because they're difficult to perform, or all of the above?
Absolutely, all of the above. As a musician, you first prepare yourself and learn your part as well as you can long before the rehearsal starts. And then once you come into the rehearsal, as I mentioned before, you're constantly listening to everything that's going around you. You want to know who has the melody, who has the harmony, who has the rhythmic figure, who has the bass, and how do you fit into that? Do you need to be bringing out your part because it is front and foremost, or are you accompanimental? Are you supporting the main idea of the music? And keeping all of those things going in your mind and knowing who you are and who everyone else is in the orchestra, it's a wonderful experience of interaction between musicians.
I'm going to take a leap of faith here and suggest, because I feel that it's appropriate, that this orchestral scenario is, in fact, perhaps very similar to the body of Christ. I'd ask you to comment on that.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you better. In any professional orchestra today, every musician in the orchestra is a very accomplished musician. And when they come to the orchestra, they take their own personal ideas of how the music should go and literally submit to each other and to the conductor. And that couldn't be any clearer metaphor as to how the body of Christ works. We submit to each other, and we submit to Christ.
I love it, and I'll bet the audience will be enriched to know that in a very special way. Now, before we go to break, I'm going to ask you a very special question about divine presence in the music that you play. And I'd like to know if you've ever sensed that, specifically had a physical manifestation of that sensing of the Holy Spirit in your music, in the orchestral work that you're involved in.
It has happened a few times orchestrally, but more specifically, I've experienced that playing in church, playing a hymn or playing a solo in church. There have been times where my playing has just literally become more expressive than any musical idea that I had myself. And it's almost as if I wasn't playing at all, that the Holy Spirit was working through my fingers. And I have to say that's happened a couple times.
I think that's breathtaking. And I want to just punctuate that breathtaking comment with scripture, and it's Psalm 150. I'll just read a few excerpts, and it's about praising the Lord in that sanctuary and praising Him in the heavens. The two go hand in hand, praising Him for His mighty deeds. And guess what? Your instrument is mentioned. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals, clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Bill Slusser, violinist from the Dayton Philharmonic, about the healing power of classical music. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician and will meet with you in person or by telephone or Skype if you're out of town. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight our special guest is Bill Slusser, concert violinist from the Dayton Philharmonic, and we're talking about the healing power of classical music. Well, Bill, I'm going to ask you a question now about the emotive side of being a musician and how, kind of picking up on an earlier thought from you, music oftentimes can take the place of words when words fail or not complete enough in expressing a concept or a thought. I'm going to take a bit of a humorous twist and ask, do you ever play the violin with your family or your immediate circle of friends when you can't find the words? And if so, has it been successful in moving through that communication gap?
Well, I can't say that I've used it as for personal communication, but in my orchestral experience, especially in the last 15 years, so many emotions have been expressed through the music that I've played that I have never experienced personally. I've never been through a huge emotional crisis or clinical depression, or been delivered from some disease. But the music and the composers that we're able to play in the orchestra have taken me through so many emotions that describe and express just the feelings that would be expressed by someone that was going through those. And it's made me a bigger and a better person as a result.
It's all those Italian operas where everybody gets killed.
Oh, yes.
That you poor thing, you've had to live through every one of them, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's more of the pure music type of symphonies, Mahler symphonies. One that comes to mind, the Barber Adagio for Strings, doesn't really have a program, but it expresses incredible grief and then exaltation at the end that are just way beyond my human experience.
You happen to have picked, I circled one on my sheet. I wanted to be sure we shared with our listeners, and that was number one, Bill. I told you we were bonding on the air here. How about that? Well, let's talk about music now as an offering, offering to our Father in Heaven, a blessing to others, a form of love. What would your thoughts be on any or all of those?
Well, as I mentioned before, music, I believe, is a pure gift of God, and He means it for our enjoyment and our worship of Him. And our job is to, whatever gift we have, to use it to the full extent that we can. And that I would call worship. But no matter how much I, quote, try to do for God, I end up being blessed. Just the playing of a hymn in church is, I hope it blesses the folks that are in the service, but it always blesses me, I feel like, more than anybody else.
Well, I get that same. It's an exhilaration. It's just thrilling. I've heard fellow pipe organists whom I love and respect say the same thing. Other musicians say the same thing. You know, there is just this moment where almost as if time is frozen and you have met, you know, the curtain of heaven and the angels, because many of the Psalms talk about ensemble work, if you will, like we talked about in the previous scripture. It's not just one instrument. It's really a combination, a joyous combination of just rich, complex, reverent music that supersedes transitions from this life to the next. How could you ever describe that in any other sort of, if you will, even art form? Although there are many that are incredibly fulfilling and thrilling. But for me, music and God's request of us is to offer that up. He does love to hear the music and the joyousness that comes through it. And frankly, I think he's created our emotions and hopes that we can, you know, use music to connect with him in that way as well.
Absolutely. I think it's his gift to us to, in our human way, I understand him and his spiritual truths.
Mm. Well put. Let's continue on with some of your other favorite classical pieces that you've either played or enjoy listening to over the years, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, any of the Beethoven symphonies are especially dear to me, but the second movement of the Seventh Symphony is especially, in fact, that is the movement I mentioned hearing the Philadelphia Orchestra when I was a teenager. That movement really spoke to me and convinced me that was where I should be. On a more spiritual basis, the Brahms Requiem is probably my favorite piece of music. Not just because the richness of the music and Brahms' compositional technique, but he brings you right to the heart of God and to the love of God. A lot of requiems are very somber and sad, but this one is not. It's just glorious. And of course, you have to be listening to works of Bach, because he was. Every work that he wrote, he wrote to the glory of God, and he signed it that way. Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, any of the unaccompanied violin sonatas, and probably one of my favorites, the St. John Passion. That's a great favorite. Of course, we've already mentioned the Barber Adagio for strings. And I can't leave out American composers. Aaron Copland and his Third Symphony is a great favorite of mine. I'm sure you're familiar with the Fanfare of the Common Man. Mm. That's from that symphony. That's where it originates. And a little short piece by Wagner. Probably don't think there are too many short pieces by him, but there's one, Siegfried Seidel, is just a delightful piece for a small orchestra.
I love it. Some great examples and great works, and I hope our listeners will have jotted down one or two of them, and will make it a point to try to find those either on YouTube or in CD, or perhaps even on the classical music station, the public radio stations in areas near them very soon. Well, you know, just to kind of round out our conversation together this evening, and again, to help us better understand, is listening or participating in live music going to be more fulfilling than perhaps listening to recorded music? And the reason I ask you this, Bill, is because I've asked the same question of a ballet, a ballerina, actually, from the Cincinnati ballet troupe recently. And this ballerina suggested that he is more engaged in his art form and more purposeful in connecting to the audience when live music is a part of that performance. I wonder if it's the same for you, or if perhaps you even have experienced something that could help us discern, if there is a discerning element in that question.
Well, I remember as a young musician hearing the Cleveland Orchestra on a regular basis. And I mentioned before, music is relational, and as listening as in a live concert and seeing the musicians working and striving and working towards that excellence that they have, you get much more excitement and understanding of the music than just listening to a CD. CDs are wonderful, but it's hard to relate to a CD on a personal basis. And I might add, the other side of the curtain is also very important to me. Rehearsing in the Schuster Center in downtown Dayton is a wonderful venue. The acoustics are just wonderful, and it makes the orchestra sound so good. But when the audience is in the auditorium as well, that brings out even more music from the musicians, because we know there's someone there that we're sharing our musical ideas with, and we're bringing them along for the ride, and that relationship is very dear to me.
And you're very dear to us, and we're so happy that you have been a part of our show and our listenership this evening. We undoubtedly could talk forever, and I'm going to have to say that you're on my list for another invitation at some point in the future.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Can you share with us, please, before we close tonight, where can we go for more information on the symphony or with regard to classical music in general?
Well, I have to plug my own organization, the Dayton Performing Arts Alliance. That is inclusive of the Dayton Philharmonic, the Dayton Ballet, and the Dayton Opera. And you can just go to daytonperformingarts.org, the website, and you can get all the information about our concerts and various events. But there are several other performing groups in the Dayton area. The Bach Society is a fine choral group. And if you have a chance to get in contact with them, please see their concerts. They're wonderful. And in Springfield has a fine symphony orchestra. Middletown has an orchestra. Miami Valley Symphony is a fine organization. And as far as information about what's going on in the Dayton area, I know WDPR 88.1, their website always has information about concerts of not just these larger organizations, but chamber music and so forth.
And how about hymns, since you and I have that common denominator, the beautiful hymns?
Oh, yes, I must bring
that
up. There are so many wonderful stories about the authors and the lives of hymn writers. And there are many books that help bring those stories out, but I've recently found a website called hymntime.com. And they not only have MP3 files of hymns and the music, but then they have the stories of the composers and very often stories of how they came about to compose a particular hymn.
Wonderful. We thank you so much, Bill Slusser, for being with us tonight on Your Holistic Health, and unfortunately, we're all out of time. I want to go ahead and wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and tonight it's from Vincent van Gogh, and I quote, "It is good to love many things, for therein lies the true strength, and whosoever loves much, performs much, and can accomplish much, and what is done in love is well done," end quote. Thanks so much again to Bill Slusser, our wonderful guest tonight. When you think about classical music and the symphony, do think about those violinists and how hard they work, as well as all of the instruments in the orchestra. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please join us again next week on Your Holistic Health, when we will be talking with Dr. Effie Chow, Qigong Master and member of the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine Policy. The topic will be Qigong on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.